The Ballad of Godric's Keep by Serene, read by Star Duchess. One. The boy who lived had managed it again, but barely. Harry lay in bed alone. He didn't know whose cabin he was in or who had dressed him in a linen gown. He tried to lift his head, but gave it up. The motion made a ringing in his ear. He sipped some water from a green glass cup and drifted back to sleep, too tired for fear. At least 3 days and nights he lingered there. He slept in fits. The fever came and went. Sometimes he thought he felt another near, but sleep returned, and consciousness was spent. A hooded man watched closely, set his arm, and quietly kept Potter safe from harm. 2. In dreams, the hooded man rode north and south. On waking, Harry found himself alone. He once, half-conscious, heard a startled oath. The hooded man was real, and hadn't known that Harry was aware enough to hear his vexed outburst on spilling lizard blood. His potion nearly failed. His mortal fear for Harry's safety made him curse aloud. One morning, Harry's head began to clear. The room was still so dark he couldn't see. So feigning sleep, he strained so he could hear the hooded man and tell who it might be. Frustrated, Harry cried out, "Who is there?" His question hung upon the empty air. 3. For days it went like this, and Harry thought that if an enemy had wished him dead, he could have done it while he slept, and not prolonged it over time. He shook his head. "No, Harry, keep your wits," he mumbled then. "He may not want you dead, but what if he is only waiting till you wake again to torture you? To see if he can see what things you know, what secrets you can tell. Who is this man? What pain will he employ?" Then came one sharp laugh, ringing like a bell, and soft, half-whispered, "Quiet, stupid boy." The man bent over him and touched his arm. At once he knew that no one meant him harm. 4. As Harry, silent, stared at him agape, the hooded man was sneering in the dim. This man he dare not trust. Severus Snape? His benefactor? Was this really him? The days went by in silence and great length, his questions all unanswered. Harry found he slowly gained abilities and strength, and Snape came daily with his eyes cast down. One night he asked for Snape to let him leave. "No one will stop you, boy," he said, stone-faced. Then Harry said, "I can't let friends believe I'm dead, when really I'm here, in this place." Snape caught his gaze with steely eyes of black, then turned and left, and he did not look back. 5. Soon Harry felt that Snape had gone for good. No longer did Snape slink across the floor. Quite slowly he regained his strength and could, by taking care, dress all his wounds, and more. One day he wept for nearly half an hour, self-pitying and wishing he were home. His thoughts of Snape, too, had surprising power. Why did he mind Snape leaving him alone? In dreams, our Harry saw the ghosts of those whose lives had been cut short, and souls he loved in this life, too. Hermione's, and Cho's, and Ron's, of course. He grew so fearful of their loss that, waking, he began to weep. He cried with longing, then collapsed in sleep. 6. A few days later, after Snape had gone, the boy decided to prepare to leave. He wasn't sure he'd make it all alone, but neither could he stay and sit and grieve. Without his broom, without a map or wand, he didn't know how far he had to go. He packed his few small things, went to the pond for water, and breathed deep. He didn't know why thoughts of Snape would not go from his brain. They trailed him up the path and through the door. Resolved to leave when day should dawn again, he took his thoughts to bed with him once more. The dreams he had that night were dark and grim, but in them Snape was watching over him. 7. Next day, before the sun could warm the skies, young Harry changed his bandages and then picked up his pack and rubbed his weary eyes. He'd make it home, he thought, but who knew when? For half a day he walked and thought his thoughts. He headed west and hoped he'd reach a town. He tired quickly, hoped he wasn't lost, but kept a steady pace with his head down. He came upon a keep on a small hill that looked like it was velveted in fog. Its beauty was both powerful and still. He thought he'd picnic on a rustic log. But fate would not be kind to Harry now. He'd walked into a trap, not knowing how. 8. Before he had the chance to even think, someone had tackled Harry from behind. He barely had a chance to look, then blink. No! Could it be? He thought he'd lost his mind. The sight of the Death Eaters in the keep forced breath from Harry's lungs, as if a hand had pushed him from behind into deep, cold water. Suddenly, his missing wand, from out of nowhere, flew right through the air into his hand. He hadn't voiced a spell. He caught a glimpse of someone, yes, just there, and gone again. Death Eaters rose and fell. By Harry's wand, it's true, a few were killed, but someone was far swifter and more skilled. 9. You probably have guessed that it was Snape who'd levitated Harry's wand to him. He had engineered their harrowing escape from certain death in twilight's chilly dim. They sat upon the ground and caught their breath, and Harry saw his teacher in new light, while Snape was mumbling underneath his breath harsh words about the battle fought that night.
"Seems to be the story of my life," he said, "to save you from your stupid self."
This time, though, Harry felt no sting, no knife of pain. He'd thought the same himself. He smiled at Snape and nodded and agreed. "You've been my guardian angel, yes, indeed." 10. That evening, as they sat around a fire, young Harry knew to wait and not to talk. He knew that Snape was taut-strung, like a wire. He thought it might be wise to take a walk. As Harry rose to stretch his legs a while, he half expected Snape to disappear as he had done before, but Snape just smiled, grabbed Harry's hand, and pulled to bring him near. The force of his desire filled Harry's ears like rushing waters or a Quidditch wind. He hadn't known such lust in all his years. He didn't even know how to begin. As night went on, they moved in fierce, bright love, with Snape's protection spell hovering above. 11. In fairy tales, the lovers now would go and be forever loved and never cry. But just for one sweet week, the two would show each other love and tenderness. I sigh to tell you that they never found a way to talk about the love deep in their hearts. Each time the boy who lived would try to say what he was feeling, something broke apart. For Severus, to speak of love and lust was torment. It might rip his heart in two. So talking fell away, and Harry just decided he would do what he could do. Their common sorrow and their common pain combined to make both men feel whole again. 12. Years later, when the boy who lived would dream, that week with Snape would shine at center stage. No Boggart nightmares ever made him scream, no matter what he lived through as he aged. When Snape had kissed the boy and held him near, some wound had healed, some love had made things right. So what had Harry left in life to fear? He'd died already, and been loved. The night had no more demons to torment him with, and no more power. Harry was a man. He'd found out Snape was flesh and blood, not myth, and not the fiend he'd thought when things began. There must be some more stories here to tell. But we'll let Harry rest now. Wish him well. This has been The Ballad of Godric's Keep, written by Serene and read by Starduchess. This poetry fic and podfic was made for the Pod Together Challenge for 2013. Thank you for listening.